Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
When you hear parents say, you know, religion is something that's going to be an obstacle for my child's success, I think it's quite the opposite. And I think there's quite a bit of data to show that.
A child is a dangerous thing to bring into your life because it disrupts your life. And on some level, we have to learn that there are risks worth taking.
Churches that buy into these enthusiastic doctrines, they are like cut flowers. They will maintain the color that they had originally, but over and again, you're going to see that sound doctrine is going to die.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
It is saddening, it's frustrating, it's angering to watch a story like the story of young Alfie Evans, this toddler in Great Britain, whose parents are fighting to take him to Italy for treatment for a malady that no one seems to understand. And the British government is repeatedly standing in their way, and the British medical system repeatedly standing in their way. This is almost exact repeat of something that has happened, it seems like, only months ago. It is a little relieving, however, to see someone like Pope Francis step in and not only offer to help the child and his parents, but maybe bring a little attention to the story on the part of the American press. Even having the Pope step in hasn't done much yet. There's been a little coverage, but not much. What is it going to take? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live on this Wednesday afternoon, April the 25th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly is going to join us here for the first half hour or so. We're going to talk about media coverage of this terminally ill British toddler whose parents are fighting to take him to Italy for treatment. A little bit later, Pastor Jonathan Fisk will join us for our ongoing series on raising Christian children in an age of secular progressivism. We're going to talk about preparing for dating and marriage and picking out good spouses, what the kids need. Then Pastor Ted Geese joins us. This movie, A Quiet Place, is a horror movie. It's doing very well at the box office. People are talking about it a lot. It is maybe an original horror movie for a change. We'll see what he thinks about it, Pastor Ted Geese, in the latter part of the second hour of Issues Etc. Feel free to join us with your questions or your comments. You can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, send us a tweet at @issuesetc, or call our Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about media coverage of Alfie Evans, a terminally ill British toddler whose parents are fighting to take him to Italy for treatment, Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
What is it going to take for the American media to pay a little bit of attention to Alfie Evans and his parents?
Well, I mean, there's a quick and obvious answer. You could say a blitz of tweets from the White House. That would probably do it, because then it would turn into a political issue involving Donald Trump. And that seems to be the font of all ink when it comes to coverage of controversial issues in America right now. There are several elements of the story already that are quite amazing. We've had situations in the past where you've had the Pope speak out on behalf of parents trying to preserve the life of their child or to take the child home to hospice care. A number of things, and these are all the common thread running through this, is parental rights in the face of a state healthcare system in which doctors, to a large degree, have rights to make decisions about what constitutes the dignity of the patients or preventing the suffering of the patient when it's a child, as opposed to the parents. Now, these are really, really sticky issues in a lot of situations here in the United States as well as Britain. But what we don't have here in America is the one unified government health system, which, frankly, I've heard a lot of Christians say a lot of good things about through the years. But on issues of this kind, things seem to get strange. Now, the action that I considered fascinating, and I couldn't believe, because of the diplomacy involved in this, I couldn't believe this didn't launch this story into American coverage, is not just the Pope, but then the decision of the Italian government to grant the child citizenship. So now at this point, you have transportation. I believe it's an airplane and a medical helicopter of some kind. You have transportation in Britain representing the government of Italy poised to rush this child to the hospital near the Vatican for, at the very least, continuing care with this mysterious condition, if not experimental care or whatever. But meanwhile, back at the hospital, you literally have armed guards, you have police surrounding the hospital room. And the parents are only able to, as one story put it, they are only able to offer love through touch at this point. And it was assumed, because of the dire condition of the child, medical experts have argued for some time that the minute the child was removed from life support, the child would die, in the words of one story that I read, within a few breaths, within a few minutes. Well, it's been now coming up on, I believe, 2 days since life support was removed and the child is still breathing on his own. So this is an agonizing situation. But in the midst of all this, a story that is lighting up the European media here in America is receiving very little coverage. There has been some, but in some of our most elite forms of media, the story has received no attention at all. The two examples I cite in a new piece today at Get Religion, I've been doing searches of the National Public Radio site and cannot find a reference to the word Alfie within, you know, the last couple of weeks. And if you go to the New York Times site, which of course is justifiably famous for the quality of its international coverage, if you go to the New York Times site and search for the child's name and then look at the last 7 days or so, the only coverage that has been given is very short reports by the Associated Press. In other words, the Times has dedicated none of its own international talent and resources to the covering of this story. The exception to this rule, and this continues a theme that we've seen in these discussions, the Washington Post has a fine piece up at this point, quoting almost every conceivable voice connected to this story, and it's interesting to note that this report was produced by the Religion Desk, not the International Desk. So once again, it was the Pope stepping in that seems to have launched this into the news stratosphere at the Washington Post. The headline at the Washington Post is, "Judge Rules Against Letting Alfie Evans, a Terminally Ill British Child, Go to the Pope's Hospital." And then the lead is, "Pope Francis has been praying for the British toddler Alfie Evans, and the Italian government has granted the child Italian citizenship and lined up a transportation plan that could swiftly bring the little boy to a Vatican hospital." Now, that's all of the elements of this story, short of the doctors then immediately saying that he cannot be healed, there should be no trip made at all, etc. That's a very strong lead containing at least three remarkable news elements that to me should put this story in headlines here in America.
other than what we've talked about before, the kind of habitual inattention that the American press gives anything happening outside the continental United States, other than that, why would this not be a story for major outlets other than the Washington Post? And golly, when the Washington Post is carrying stuff, you'd think the New York Times would say, okay, I guess we need to talk about this in a little more depth too.
Now, let's be clear here. I'm not physically on the ground in Washington, D.C. I don't know if this Washington Post religion story ran in the physical paper on dead tree pulp or not, and I don't know where it ran in the paper. But you're right that it is the sort of thing that should have been noticed. And like I said, the Times, as best I can tell, is running short Associated Press stories on a regular basis, back in the paper or only on the website. By the way, an interesting phrase that jumped out at me and just made me immediately want to write about this AP report, and even before I spotted it in the Times, at one point, third paragraph of the AP story, it says, "But Alfie's parents, who are backed by a Christian pressure group, have been granted a chance to challenge that ruling at the appeals court Wednesday afternoon." Now, there are local religious organizations, one of which is calling itself Alfie's Army and whatever, but that's a really interesting phrase, a Christian pressure group, when you consider that the Vatican and the Pope are involved, that representatives of the Vatican are involved, the Pope has sent a rosary to the child's family, and then this extraordinary action of both the Vatican and the Italian government. To me, that sounds like a little bit more than a Christian pressure group.
What does the Pope have to do? It sounds like the Pope has done everything except go there, pick up the child, and carry him out on his own personal jet.
Pope shows up, that would certainly get coverage. This is also a reminder. I'm someone who has been, just in my own personal doctrinal views, somewhat worried about some of the actions of Pope Francis. But I have to admit that in his personal statements and actions on themes related to the defense of the sanctity of life, this has been an exceptionally outspoken pope. The problem is the American public hardly ever reads these statements because they aren't covered in the media. I think it's safe enough to say at this point that when the Pope does things that are popular to political progressives, it is very big news. When the Pope does things that are unpopular to American political and religious progressives, that is not considered big news. And that there now is a kind of a culture wars template being put over the top of coverage of the Pope. Most of the time, you know, when the Pope releases statements or gets involved in stories of these kinds anywhere in the world, it's considered pretty big news. Of course, the exception, for valid reasons, to that law I just lined out is, you know, the Pope, any Pope involved in things related to the clergy, sexual abuse, and several other types of stories. That's going to be news because that's news about the Vatican itself. In this case, we're talking about actions or statements by the Pope. The Pope has been involved for quite a few days now, multiple weeks, and has continued to speak out on this case. When I started digging for American coverage, frankly, I was shocked, and I can be pretty cynical about these things. I was shocked how little coverage there is at this point. I tried to think of parallels and imagine how they would be played. I tried to imagine New York Times coverage of a case in Poland, let's say, where a Catholic hospital was denying a woman a right to an abortion or was denying a teenaged person the right to transsexual surgery, which I don't even know is legal in Poland. But you get my point. I was trying to find a way. What would happen if we were in a conservative cultural state? and we had some sort of crisis involving personal or parental rights of a liberal or progressive element linked to the sexual revolution, would that be getting coverage? I think that it's safe to say that it would be getting extensive coverage. This case is getting a lot of coverage on the other side of the Atlantic, if not simply for the fact they're dealing here with two members of the European Union. Then over the top of that, you have the Brexit concerns. And I can't stress too much this very interesting action by the Italian government. The child is now, in diplomatic and legal terms, a citizen of Italy. And in Italy's eyes, the citizen is being held against the wishes of the parents. Now, what happens if Italy gives the parents citizenship? This could get really interesting.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of a terminally ill British toddler whose parents are fighting to take him to Italy for treatment. The entrance of the Pope into the story, early in our conversation, he suggested if there was a tweet from the president, then the American press would catch on. What would the story be then? What angle would they take? We'll be right back. You could win an audio DVD of every presentation from all six Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. Record your answer to the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean? On our comment line, 618-223-8382. If we play your answer during Issues Etc., we'll send you a conference audio DVD of almost 50 hours of teaching. 618-223-8382. And answer the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean? Please be sure to mention where you listen.
Memoria Press now offers six levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What we need to know about Islam is that it's the world's fastest growing religion and the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel.
Hank Canagraph of the Bible Answer Man talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
The current narrative is that if you tell the truth in this regard, well, you'll radicalize Muslims. But that's pure propaganda. What we need to do is wake up to the truth concerning Islam.
You can meet and hear Hank Canagraph making the case against Islam at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Terry Mattingly about media coverage of a terminally ill British toddler, Alfie Evans, whose parents are fighting to take him to Italy for treatment. Terry is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, you suggested early on that one thing that would move the rest of the American media to start talking about Alfie Evans, paying attention to the story, would be perhaps if the president were to tweet about it. I suggest, let's say the president put out a tweet saying something like, come on, Great Britain, let Alfie go, give Italy a chance, or something like that. Any hashtag save Alfie Evans or release Alfie Evans. How do you think the media would then cover the story? What would be their angle?
Well, once again, it turns it into something that's more political. And we saw in the Charlie Gard case, this added like a whole nother level, you know, of kind of consideration for this. I've been doing some searching just even as we talked here, looking to see if Trump has tweeted anything on Alfie Evans, and I'm not seeing anything. I'd be interesting if that has been the case, but I'm sure at this point he's done nothing more than simply say something like thoughts and prayers or something like that. Or why don't people listen to the Pope? I'll continue to watch that. But once again, the key is this story something that has to be covered as a political circus? The Washington Post story, which I want to praise, I'm sure there are people on both sides of this issue with any complex issue that could find a hole or two to punch in it. But I want to praise it at this point for simply taking a serious approach to this issue, putting the basic elements of the story in play, and quoting extensively from the people, including British officials and doctors who are involved in this case. In the age of the internet, of course, the story in the online edition includes URLs that take readers or other reporters directly to, you know, lots of material about the case. This isn't that hard to do. You don't have to put someone on a jet to the UK to at least get a reputable story into play about this case.
I'm trying to imagine a scenario in which something like this would occur in the United States, albeit we have a very different medical system here in the United States. But if this were happening in Canada, do you think the American press would pay a little more attention?
No, I don't think that would make much difference where it is outside of the United States. The extraordinary thing is the lack of coverage involving the action of the Pope. Maybe we've reached a state where some members of our press, when the Pope does things that are ordinarily Catholic, there goes the Catholic Church again. When the Pope does something that perceives the Catholic Church may be changing or taking what the press can interpret as steps in the direction of, let's say, stereotypically speaking, the New York Times editorial page, then that's news because it's something new. Defending the rights of parents to control the life of a child and to try to do everything they can to save the life of that child, that isn't news, I guess, because that's the Catholic Church doing Catholic stuff. Now, if there were demonstrations here in America, would that matter? We are such a celebrity-related nation. You remember you and I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. That was my point five of the things I have observed about religious life in the United States and abroad in the 30 years of my column. I noted that celebrityhood was getting more and more important. Would celebrities be able to put this at the top of the news? Let's just pretend. Now, remember all the healthcare battles involving Jimmy Kimmel and his nightly talks about his own child. If Jimmy Kimmel took this up, would the American press cover it? What do you think?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I think they'd cover it and then realize, oops, this isn't the story we wanted to be covering, but Jimmy Kimmel's talking about it.
Well, I don't know, but what can Jimmy Kimmel say unless he supports the Pope on this? There really isn't any way to just kind of stand up there and say, well, you know what? The parents are wrong, the British government's right. We gotta let this kid die as soon as possible with dignity. I mean, how's that going to play in the American media? How's it going to play with the American public? So, you know, you can imagine what this whole thing is doing on Twitter. Someone noted that, you know, in Europe, there's actually more regulation of something like abortion than there is here in the United States. Yet at the irony, you had that the British government, of course, would have given the mother the right to abort a child for an extensive period of the pregnancy. I don't know if there is zero right in final trimester. But now you have a child who is alive, and the parents are asserting a right to make a decision about the life of this child, and yet they don't. That you know, needless to say, is an interesting ethical set of rules there. The child is losing protection while being alive, as opposed to gaining it.
I can think of one thing that probably would catch the American media's attention that wouldn't have to involve something outside of Great Britain, just given the amount of time that the American press has spent, and rightly so, heralding the birth of the new royal child.
Okay.
Which happened at the same time, and people have been noting the disproportionate amount of coverage of the one as opposed to the other. If one of the royal family had something to say about this, it wouldn't carry any weight of law. But if the new father and mother said, hey, if we were in that hospital, we would want a chance to do this too with our children.
If the queen suddenly said, I'm not sure this is the Britain I used to know. Yeah, I think that would get coverage. Another interesting possibility, just thinking out loud, what would happen if the Italian representative to the United Nations got up in New York and spoke and said, we would like the right to bring this Italian citizen home. The fact that it would occur in New York might break the barrier. As it is, it really does feel like a kind of boycott when you consider the nature of a lot of the stories that occur at places like NPR, CBS, CNN. That's a great question. This morning in researching this story, I did not search CNN. Be interesting to see what they did. The British Broadcasting Corporation, BBC, has had extensive coverage. And as I said, on the other side of the Atlantic, this is viewed as a very important case. And the Pope's involvement, the Pope even meeting with the father of the child who went to Italy to appeal for help, and the Pope met with the father of the child face to face. Something else that you could see conceivably being on the evening news.
Is this aspect, much is often made in kind of conservative circles of the media bias in the United States. We've talked about whether or not we're in an era of advocacy journalism or not. But is this a sufficiently explored facet of the alleged media bias, which is the blind eye, what it doesn't cover as opposed to how it covers what it covers?
Well, what leaps into mind is the statement, I wish I could remember which media theorist said this. One of the things that I used in my speech for the Issues Etc. conference last summer, you may remember the statement that the media, I believe I used it there, that the media does a bad job of telling us what to think, but it does a tremendous job of telling us what to think about. And I think to some degree that's what you're talking about here. In other words, the power to put a subject on the front burner of public discussion so that suddenly political leaders on the Hill are being asked for their reaction to these issues by reporters. Putting it on the front burner is just as big a decision as the nature of the coverage itself. So you're right. So there's a media bias in the actual content. There's a potential media bias in how the stories are framed. Is this a parental rights issue, or is this a waste of resources issue? Except in this case, once again, like the earlier cases, this is not about Britain being forced to pay for coverage of this child. This is not an issue of British funds. This is literally a right under the rules of the British healthcare system and a European court, it also appears, to say we know what's better for the medical care of your child than you do. This is explicitly a case about parental rights. A friend of mine tweeted out about 24 hours ago something that wasn't related to this story, but if we're trying to anticipate where these stories go, he was preparing a poll and was tweeted out to journalists and others and said, "Do any of you have any questions about religious liberty that you think should go in the poll?" Well, I literally read that tweet while reading some coverage of the Alfie case, Alfie Evans case, and I tweeted back, "Let's go ahead and think a decade ahead and ask this question. Do parents have a right to raise their children in a particular religious faith?" Now, that sounds really far out and really strange, but doesn't that question sound a little more haunting after you've read about a case like this, where the parents, a hospital, another international government, and the Pope are saying, "We would like to provide free care for this child. We will send our own equipment to come pick him up. This will not cost Britain anything." But Britain, meanwhile, says, "No, we have the sovereign rights to determine that it is in the interest of this child's life and dignity that it be allowed to die without further care."
One other question here, Terry. Have you seen in the coverage of this, the little that there is, but then also, if you would, kind of the European coverage as well, the answer to the question, what did the Brits think about this? Because what I've seen is kind of generalized anger at Great Britain among kind of the more visceral responses in social media, just like it's time for the British Empire to, you know, die and go away or burn in a fire or something like that. Because who do you blame? Do we know what the actual citizens think about this?
I have not seen a poll, but I will say this. If you're looking for religious fervor in Britain. Now, Britain is supposed to be turning into one of the most secular countries in the world. The percentage of people that are active in churches is very small. There is what some press reports are calling a mob of activists outside this hospital. This is an issue that is stirring up fervor in Britain, and I would presume many of the people involved are religious believers. At the same time, Brexit, if you'll remember, one of the primary motives in Brexit was British citizens feeling that Europe was starting to tell them what to do instead of their own government. And the European court has now backed the British healthcare system. I'd love to see some more coverage, and I'll try to dig into the British coverage more. I was simply struck, to wrap things up, by two points. One, we're seeing very little coverage of this in elite media in America. Yet, in this Washington Post report, we see how easy it was to produce a solid, well-reported, multiple-source news report about this that let both sides speak. This was not hard to do journalism in this case. It was not hard. The issue was whether you wanted to.
And finally, why do you think the Washington Post assigned this story to the religion desk?
That's a great question. I would assume, well, besides the fact that there's a lot of talent there, I think it was the Pope. Oh, the Pope has spoken. Let's hand this to the religion desk. Isn't that kind of logical? The minute Trump speaks, it's back to the political people, and that puts it on page one. What a world.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He is author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, I'll talk with you next time.
Glad to be here.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. We've had a long series with him on raising Christian children in an age of secular progressivism. Today, preparing for dating, marriage, and picking out a spouse, what the kids need. Stay tuned.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. This glorious good news is and always has been too good not to share. It compelled Peter, Paul, and the other apostles to the very ends of the earth, and it continues to drive Lutheran Church Missouri Synod missionaries even today. Learn more here in the April issue of The Lutheran Witness magazine. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative, free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Christan. These six engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholz. Learn more by clicking the Kata Christan logo at issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor Palmer from Catalina Lutheran Church in sunny Tucson, Arizona. We're a confessional, liturgical, hymn-singing, Bible-teaching, gospel-preaching congregation. And we would love to share God's good gifts of word and sacrament with you. Look us up online at catalinalutheran.org or give us a call at 520-825-9255. God be with you.